Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
From the Third Coast International Audio Festival and Chicago Public Radio, I'm Delaney Hall, filling in for Gwen Macsai, and this is ReSound.
My piano lessons were every Thursday, and they were immediately after this four-year-old who could play like everything. While she played, I would always get there just a little bit early. She would suck on a pacifier as she played Bach.
ReSound is a remix of music, documentaries, found sound, sound bites, and audible flotsam and jetsam we find all over the world. We trawl the airwaves and the internet, gathering up the good stuff and spinning it all together for you each week on ReSound.
So I was just beginning to play. And the piano teacher would sit next to me, look out the window, and cry. And I thought it was because I was so horrible, but later I found out she was going through a divorce and she was very sad.
In this hour, stories of music and musicians, amateurs, experts, and everything in between. When you think of libraries, you don't think of noise. Libraries are quiet places. They're full of tiny, subtle sounds. Pages turning, fingers tapping on computer keyboards, nothing much louder than a librarian stamping a book during checkout. But the public library in Portland, Maine, defies this stereotype of the library as a hushed sanctuary. In addition to books, the library has a public piano, which draws people from all over the city who want to hang out in the practice room and play. Producer Elizabeth Chur spent some time at the library and created this story called Sounds of Democracy.
My name's Ian Michelle. I live in Portland, Maine. I love playing this piano. This Hamilton built by Baldwin at the public library. It's nice. It's great.
I just wandered down here one day looking through the movies at the library, and I noticed a little closet with a piano.
My name is Judy Wenzel, and when we moved into this library, I was in charge of the art and audiovisual department. You know, music is a real outlet for a lot of people. It's a way that people can be more creative and express their emotions. When we thought that we're going to move into this big space, let's put some things in it that are good for the public, it just made sense, I think, to have a piano because people just didn't have access to a piano.
My name is Martin Haggerty.
It is a very good thing for the library to open up a piano room. There was a time that I had to save my pennies to get my own piano.
I'm Linda Joyce Rich. No, I've actually never owned a piano. We moved back to Maine in 1980, and the library was the closest piano to practice. And my kids liked to sit there and read books, so I'd go practice the piano. And it's a nice practice room with soundproofing, and anyone can go in and practice 1 hour at a time.
My name is Tom Wilsbach, and I'm the arts librarian at Portland Public Library. We have a policy now of sharing the piano because we had a fellow who would come in first thing in the morning and he would stay pretty much all day. He would get up to a certain point in the piece, make a mistake, stop, utter a profanity, and begin again. It was torture.
My name is Matt Arujo. I'm a University of Southern Maine student, so I could go all the way out to Gorham and play there, but usually don't feel like the half an hour of driving and half an hour of coming back. I play guitar, that's my main instrument, and I sing. But the piano is probably one of the best compositional tools there is. I think as a songwriter, it's important to learn how to use it.
My eyes stare through their lens, through walls into the sky, and I try.
The piano is really a limitless instrument. It's kind of the boss of all instruments. There's nothing wrong with a flute, a guitar, but a piano, it's like right there in front of you. It's like 31 flavors.
My name is Christopher Keister.
Cray Malik. And I don't really know how to play the piano.
But I mean, anyone can play it. That's what's so great about
true.
The instrument.
Oh, it's really just a treat.
This is my favorite note. Play that note forever. G sharp, there's something about it. Totally sweet.
I fell in love with Chopin. He just seemed so pained out, yet so romantic at the same time.
Through my life, I have had to battle depression. In fact, I have bipolar disorder. That kind of depression really sucks you into a very dark corner.
I developed a mental illness back in 1980-something, and that's maybe what I was trying to do when I was searching for the different music, was trying to connect to something that was pure and untouched, because mental illness is the most difficult thing I've had to face.
I feel like there's stuff to channel, because a lot of feelings that I have that I can't express in words or talk about, I could express in piano.
It's my soul. I love music. It is a total release because you sort of forget everything else. They say I was born singing. I'd go to school, and all the way to school I'd be singing.
When I was a little boy, my father died. I was 7 years old, and he was 39. And I can remember going to church at the St. John Catholic Church in South Portland. And I loved the music. That's what I got out of church. Daddy sing bass. It's a Johnny Cash song. I never had my dad. So when I played these songs and I start singing along with them, it brings me a certain peace of mind. And my dad is there. I know he's there. He's in heaven.
Think back in the 70s, a lot of librarians were feeling that libraries were areas that could really affect social change. I think it's one of the most democratic institutions, really.
And a lot of times political parties try to claim that they're American over the next guy, and God Bless America isn't just about stiff shirts. It's about the little people, like the immigrants and people like myself with mental illness. I don't know if we'd be able to make it in another country. Everyone should have a right to the music that they like. That's what free speech is. The thing about a library, you can really explore not just piano, everything else.
That's it. Thank you for listening.
That was Sounds of Democracy by Elizabeth Chur. She produced the story when she was a student at the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies in Portland, Maine. To hear dozens of captivating stories about music that we've gathered over the years, check out thirdcoastfestival.org.
Thank you for listening.
You're listening to ReSound from the Third Coast Festival. I'm Delaney Hall, filling in for Gwen Macsai, who's off gathering sound in New Zealand. At least that's what she says she's doing. Next, a story about a place that's much harder to get into than the music room at the Portland Public Library, the Victorian College of the Arts School of Music, one of Australia's most well-respected and exclusive conservatories. Every year, some of Australia's most driven young musicians compete for a few spots in the program. Radio producer Kyla Brettel went to the VCA to study oboe, flute, and piano. Remembering vividly the drama of the application process, she decided to follow a few students through their auditions. The amazing thing about this story is just how close Kyla gets to the whole process. It's full of murmured conversations, overheard phone calls, and anxious intrigue. Here's the audition, Into the School of Music.
School of Music, this is Avon.
Can I help you there?
I'm administration assistant. I organise auditions at the VCA School of Music.
I'm wondering if I could have a look at my file and see if I can get some results.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Well, you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm Ashley. This is Jeff.
Hi. Hello.
Okay. What are you applying for as Lachlan?
The first thing I applied for is My Funny Valentine.
My name's Jeff Hughes. I'm a guitar player, and my role here is lecturer. Myself and Ashley Cross are auditioning guitarists, of which there's always many, and between us we've auditioned hundreds of people. So the results are possibly yes, maybe, or no, and
yeah.
You probably do know that we're outnumbered. It's essentially what happens is an auditionee will walk in, set up their equipment.
We get 10 minutes of playing and then we interview people for 10 minutes.
Right. So you can see that we have a lot to work out in a short time.
Do you know your scales, Lindley?
Yeah, I do.
You're pretty cool with your scales.
Yeah, very cool with my scales and my theory. Yeah.
Could you tell me what notes are in a B or likely a natural two string?
In the end, we get all the names together, we get all our comments together and we put them in the box and go, okay, where does everybody stand in relation to each other?
Okay.
Okay. Any hints of how I went?
Yeah. We have to hear a fair number of people,
a lot more.
Yeah.
And
we are looking for, first of all, potential.
We're looking, first and foremost, for a good instrument.
I think if someone's got a great sound and great feel, then they're kind of a fair way down the path, I reckon.
But, of course, the performance has to be at a certain level to start the tertiary course here.
Technical elements that we would expect them to have by that time, such as correct hand position.
The way they shape a line.
Accurate rhythm.
The way they phrase.
Good sense of pitch.
The way they use space and treat the form.
Attitude to learn instrument, whether they're prepared to dedicate their time and work hard to achieve their potential.
Is that as loud as that goes?
Turn
it up a bit more.
It'll be louder in this one.
Okay.
One of the things I'm always really looking for is musicality and a sense of self-expression in the playing.
Creativity/discipline. The two words should always appear together. Always, in my opinion.
Real performers sometimes are not just good players. They're a whole personality that goes with the playing.
Other people are more introspective. In a sense, the question you're asking is like, what is talent?
Because that's something that's really difficult to teach. A person either seems to have that quality or not. So I look for that.
Quote by Yo-Yo Ma. You know, when he was at college and there were these really amazing players there, some of them weren't the ones that went on and became great. Very often, it was the ones that had the fire in the belly and they just work like mad.
That's it.
The
that's it.
We've got a couple of days worth of people here, so
it's just the numbers going. Yeah, and we have limited intake.
Yeah, that's good,
just,
because
just the way it is.
You've got to keep numbers down, especially with guitarists. It's, you know, there's so many.
But there's more to it. It's an absolute desire to express oneself through music. If you have nothing to say, don't even think of it.
I think if someone's not called to their instrument and they're not called to be a musician, then no, they've missed their calling, they're calling somewhere else.
And if you see or you discover that that commitment and that passion is not there, then it's not going to work for that particular student. On the other hand, a student who's mad keen and has all these ingredients but doesn't have the talent, it's also not going to work. So it's quite a rare combination that we're really looking for.
Oi. Did you just have yours in?
Yeah.
How'd you go?
Yeah, I think it went alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I played well, but the sight reading, I made a couple of mistakes, just couldn't get the sight reading. Yeah, and Alex was like, we don't know how many spots we get. Sometimes we have six, sometimes we have five, four. I was like, I know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm going to keep going to do it. And he's like, yeah, good, good, good. Yeah. Let you know in a couple of weeks. But I'm just glad it's over. Yeah.
School music, this is Avon.
Anyway.
It's a really complicated process. Like, sometimes we're dealing with 500 applicants.
Then how many places are there?
130 places across all the instruments. That's only an estimate. If we get a lot of good applicants, there'll be a lot more full fee paying places on offer, but we only get a particular amount of hex places that we are given by the government.
I think you'd have to be mad not to dream about being a soloist, because it would be such an amazing thing to do. I mean, it would be such a huge buzz. It's really great because I've got these windows and I always look out into the street, and it's fun to see people walk by, and sometimes little children stop to listen to the practicing, which is really nice, I think. You know, I've got big dreams and I'm a bit embarrassed to tell them to people because they're so big. Okay, so it's in here, my room. I'm just turning the light on. Get my violin out. I'm going to be playing the first movement of the Brook Concerto in G minor by Max. My name is Sophie De Tempra and I play the violin, and I'm auditioning for the Melbourne Conservatorium and the VCA. It's really challenging. It's a very hard piece to play, and I haven't actually played a lot of people would say, you know, don't you have any backups, or two's not much, you know, what if you don't get in? Thinking about being able to study music at the VCA is just like the lucky few. And I'm going to play a Kreutzer study and also some scales. It's Sunday today and my audition's like 8 days away. So, yeah, getting a bit nervous.
Now, okay, so the next person is... Oh, how do you say that? Puyu? Puyu?
Oh, sorry, Puyu, yeah. Puyu.
Puyu.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Donna.
Do you know Donna, her name is?
My name's Eve Newsom, and I'm a lecturer in woodwind, and I play the oboe, the coronglé, and the damore. And basically, I've been teaching here for about 18 years.
What brings you to audition for the VCA?
Because I wish to become a good performer one day in the future, yeah.
Very good reason.
Yeah, and it's the only things I want to do for my rest of my life. I don't want to do anything other than just playing the oboe. Yeah.
They always say that, I'd like to be a performer, a solo performer. We don't get students coming and saying, I want to be a flute teacher. You know, it's a dream, basically. It's a dream for the person. And they're coming here and sort of opening themselves up and spreading it out all on the table, so to speak, in front of you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Donna. I'm going to give you a bit of sight reading now.
Yeah, she's just unbelievably keen.
Yeah.
When I taught her, I couldn't believe it myself.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Glenn. How are you? Good.
He's playing all the things that sometimes I press at the okay, in that order.
I don't mind if students want to be soloists, and I think, you know, when I was young, you always have, you know, dreams about what you might do, and I think those dreams, what keeps you going and makes you be the best you can be, and realistically, gradually, it becomes obvious to a person if they can or can't be a soloist.
Cheers.
Sorry, Glenn.
Sorry. We stop everybody.
No worries.
It's horrible. But we.
Okay, whatever people perceive as the rewards of studying music, the only reward in the end is music. The ex-dean here, Tony Gould, used to say that it was a beautiful way to live. It is a beautiful way to live, but in that statement lies the fact that it's a way of life, and that if you're not engaged in it as part of your life, anything else is a red herring.
It's good, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so it'll be a couple of weeks, Glenn.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hopefully see you next year.
See you later. We're done, aren't we?
Lunch.
Lunch.
What does it take to become a working musician?
You just got to be on a path of mastery. It's that simple, I think. And you just keep doing it until certain things manifest themselves in your playing, and then you can do them where you couldn't do them before. I kind of think it's that simple. You know, I sort of tell this to students. I say, you know, like it's, say, Friday night, there's the practice room, there's the DVD player, and someone's just gone out to get some stubbies and a pizza. What's it going to be? DVD, stubbies and pizza, or the practice room? Most people just fall foul of the DVD player. As soon as you walk into the practice room, I mean, your demons just come out and start to chastise you. It's full on. Any journey of mastery is like that. You've got to face these bloody demons day in, day out. I don't think we talk enough about demons in our society generally. We don't talk enough about mastery either.
It's a difficult age to be working hard and to want to be a musician. Most 18-year-olds want to be out there, you know, going out and having a good time and hanging out with friends and doing all that sort of stuff. I guess for me, I'm on a different sort of page from all the other people my age, because I've really made the decision that this is absolutely what I want to do. And, you know, the last couple of years I've been working really hard and putting in 4 to 5 hours of practice a day, good solid practice. You know, I want what I want really badly, and I want to be really good really badly. We're on St Kilda Road, outside the VCA. Well, I've got 3 days to my audition, so it's very soon. And we are about to go into the VCA to have a rehearsal with my piano accompanist. I only got 4 hours sleep last night. I got up at like 4 this morning, because I couldn't sleep, so I started practicing at 5:30. Scattered. I feel a bit scattered in my head. A bit crazy. I don't know, I guess because I haven't met this accompanist, and so I was just really nervous about it, and I feel like I'm so used to my normal accompanist, so yeah, but hopefully it'll go alright.
Time, bum, ba 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 ba. Yes, that's it. Nothing more. Let's go and just repeat and repeat. If you would like to.
Sorry,
I have
that place. Yes?
Slow.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Da 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 da.
Is that the right speed?
Okay. It's the right. Choose your own speed. I just would like to show you how you have to be with the officer.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, I think I did something wrong.
Why you all the time tell me sorry? What? Huh? What's wrong you're doing? Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Just rehearsal, please. Because I don't know. We have to choose comfortable for you tempo. At the same time, we need to.
And how have the last few days been?
Oh, really stressful. Because I feel like I have to do a lot of practice, but I feel like I'm sort of just only going to be able to make it until the audition.
Katrina?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. My name's Katrina Dernley and I'm 25 years old, auditioning on the violin.
I do have a problem where I feel a lot of pressure and stress. Yeah, it really scares me sometimes, and I get very nervous when I perform. So overcoming that would be the greatest goal that I could achieve.
From the moment they walk in, you can tell, you recognise the tension, you know, because they might be, visually you can see that they're quite shaky. And of course with a bow in your hand and drawing, you know, a slow bow from the beginning of a down bow to the end of a down bow, strange things can happen. Things start to bounce.
Is it the first time auditioning
since
long time?
Long time.
Long time, yeah.
I had about 4 years off after I finished all of my gradings, and I'm getting right back into it, and that's my first performance, so I'm extremely nervous.
So you didn't play at all while you were doing
No, not really. I did my VCE music, and after I left school I just decided that I wanted to work a bit and experience some things. And then over the last year my life was just consumed with music, and I think I didn't want any more of that. I did want to give it up, but I had enough of it. It was just too much after a while. I was sick of it. Sick of the pressure, sick of the competitiveness of it all, and the criticism also, that you're never really good enough.
And how do you feel about yourself amongst 17, 18 years old?
Compared to my age?
I mean, they're kids, in a way.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that?
For sure.
If you want to be a musician, you have to find out whether you want to be that right now, because you can't really waste any time. Physically, it's important to really use the time now and not in another 10 years.
I just felt that I needed that time to mature and to really know what I wanted. Mm. So this is what I want now. I really love music.
I went to a concert to see Nigel Kennedy, and I had a bit of an awakening. Something just grabbed me inside that says, hey, you could have had that, or you could be doing that now. And I thought, well, I'll give it a go again. If it takes me somewhere, it does. If not, at least I know that I've tried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take
I'm
a
very
big
nervous.
Breath.
I'm
no,
it's
not
okay.
Nervous.
It's only us.
I actually do my study now.
Yeah,
sure.
That's fine. Yeah, take your time.
Yeah. And we're conscious of the fact that the students will be nervous. However, to be a musician, you need to cope with a lot of stress. It's a stressful profession. So we're looking at that. How are they coping with this level of stress that they're under today? Because it sort of sets the scene a little bit for how they might cope in the future. So on the one hand, we understand. On the other hand, we're not setting out to reduce the natural stress that goes with the process. And we're always sort of give them time to warm up and do the things that would help them to play well. But you can't actually take the stress away from it.
was the worst audition I've ever done in my life. Yeah.
Oh. That was bad. That was absolutely...
That's terrible. Yeah, I worked really, really hard at it and fell in a bit of a heap.
Well, Katrina is a bit...
Look, she's a musical girl.
Yeah, she is. Well, I got a bit careful about this because she got really stressed out. So, borderline.
But look, it's a good experience at the end of the day. If I don't get in, then that's a valuable experience, what I went through anyway. So, it's worth it. It's worth it.
2 minutes.
So what do you think, Stephen?
I think she's really extraordinary.
Stunning.
Yeah, I mean...
A definite yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Very, very impressive. I mean, just beautiful, impressive sounds.
Well, I'm Anna Connolly and I'm head of voice here at the college.
Oh, I didn't introduce you, Stephen. I'm sorry.
I haven't introduced myself.
Oh, good on you. Come and talk to us, Claire. So you're about to be 27 or you're about to be 26?
26.
Oh, well, you're still 25.
Oh, going one, perfect. And still due at 8:45, so that's good.
There's no plane out there yet, is there?
43, so you would think it's very close.
My name's Ian Howarth. I'm Caitlin's uncle, and we're out at Tullamarine Airport because she's coming down here to do some auditions for the Victorian College of the Arts and the Melbourne Conservatory.
Time is 8:45. The plane was due to arrive right now, so we're not too far away from seeing a new star.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You look different the last time I saw you. Not expecting.
That's because I've got old.
You got less hair than last time. I'm sorry.
Dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's that's a worry.
I know.
How was it? Good trip?
Oh, I'm so tired now.
My name's Caitlin Howarth. I am 17. I've just finished high school. I live in Cairns in North Queensland. And I've just got back from my after-school adventure trip to Airlie Beach, which was pretty cool. It was really good. Went there with about
school and sort of 50 of my friends.
Like, so I didn't really ever enjoy anything else besides music, so never having to do maths again is a good thing. And if I get accepted into uni, then I'll just be doing what I want to do all day, every day. And I think I'm going to be a lot happier not having to worry about so many different things.
Do you remember your first audition?
Yes, I do, actually. That would have been for the Queensland Conservatorium. And I remember I sang Voi che sapete from Le nozze di Figaro by Mozart. And I just did my job, liked the piece, and I just did it. Quite innocent, really. I didn't really have a sense of whether or not I would get in. I just assumed I would because I really like music and I want to learn singing. Yeah, arrogant in another way, you could say.
I don't think you should really worry about things. Just be confident about yourself and be confident that, you know, you can do well.
I think nerves, for me, didn't come in for quite a few years. But I do remember a point in time where I did start to get nervous, and that was when I started to have serious doubts as to whether what I was singing was actually too hard for me. Up until that point, I was in a world of just making music and having a good time, I think. But eventually, the crunch does come at some stage where you doubt yourself.
do you think of that one, Stephen?
Well, she is extraordinary. Certainly mm-hmm. the best one we've heard.
Just outstanding.
Since we've been here at the school.
Probably. You do yeah. reckon since we've been here at the school yeah. it's the best one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So is she a yes for you, Stephen?
She would be a yes.
Okay.
They don't have a definitely category, but if they did, I'd be circling that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. My goodness me.
Okay, now we have one other, I believe.
We do, and her name is...
Kaylin. Yeah, Kaylin Howarth.
Queensland.
Oh, how old? 19, is it?
No, 17.
17, oh my God.
Bach and Mozart.
Ah, very good. Ich will dir mein Herz schenken. Is it that one?
Yeah.
My God. Hello, Kaylin.
I'm Kaylin.
Yeah, good to meet you. I'm Anna.
Hello, Anna. I don't know if you accept them. I just brought a CD along just in case.
Oh, good on you. Fantastic. So where in Queensland are you from?
I'm from Cairns, actually.
Are you?
Yes.
Yes, I'm a sort of an ex-Queensland,
are
but a
you?
Bit south of there.
I think that a heavy dose of reality is needed, not to squash dreams, but to understand where you are and what you need to do in order to potentially get some of those dreams happening. And where I think a lot of people go wrong is that they live in the world of potential, but potential runs out. Has a use-by date of about 27 or 28 in this country, in the singing world, which is going to be a lot older than the instrumental world. And problems also happen if people are only goal-oriented and not process-oriented. There is not room for everybody at the top level. But you can still make music beautifully in many, many different areas. And it can be singing a lullaby for your child. And people will find their right place and it will feel right, because it's not right for everybody to be a star at Covent Garden. It certainly would not have been right for me by any stretch of the imagination. I'm in the right world here.
Well done.
Thank you.
Very stylish, actually. Could we have the Bach, please?
So what's your gut feeling?
Really good, actually. I think I went really, really good. Yeah. You can't really tell, I guess, until you find out, but they seemed really, really nice and really into me. They were smiling the whole time, so that was good.
Hello, Graham. How are
you? Hey, Dad, it's Kaylin.
And how did you go?
It was really good.
And
I'm really excited, actually.
Good on you. Well done. I'm real pleased for you, darling. I mean, it's nice to see that you're a bit more chirpy, because I know you were very disappointed previously.
Yeah.
So did they give you any indicators of how they felt, or...?
I think they were pretty impressed.
Right.
Like, after each song, they, like, congratulated me and said that it was really good, and...
Oh, that's
yes.
really good. And you've not had that elsewhere, have you?
No, not really, no.
I assumed I was going to be a diva on the stage at Covent Garden. I think if you had asked me at age 21, or said you're going to be a full-time teacher by the age of 45, I would have at that age thought, that's a job for a loser. And I think it's the arrogance of youth. However, these days, obviously I think quite differently. I suppose I was in my early 30s, and it was a strange sort of thing. I just kind of fell into teaching to support myself, had all intentions of doing the rounds of auditioning for the opera companies, and somehow didn't get around to it for a couple of years, and my singing teaching business got bigger and bigger, and I started all of a sudden teaching professional singers. And the world of performance took more of a background for me. And I am completely engrossed in how to change sound for the better in a person. So I'm so glad to be able to let other people get horrifyingly nervous going on for their Metropolitan Opera debut. And I can sit back and be in the wings, so to speak, vicariously living.
My name's Kaylin Howard, and I auditioned for Classical Voice, and I got my letter yesterday, and it told me that I didn't get in to the Bachelor of Music, which was the program that I wanted to get into. I haven't actually read it myself yet, because my mum called me while I was at work and told me. I was disappointed because I felt so confident about it. Like, they seemed to be really interested in me, and then they just said no. So that was kind of a bit disheartening.
Things work out just fine in the end. And if somebody's worried about whether or not they get into the College of the Arts, that it's just a drop in the ocean of your life. It doesn't matter. You just learn from it and you go on.
There were a few little things not going right, you know, on Sunday, and I was just, I don't know. A rough day. Yeah, I think I was just really stressed out, and I was sort of at the end of my tether. I've been seeing a psychologist, and I called her up, and she wasn't answering, so I called my mum's friend, and she was like, okay, I'm just going to give me the number.
Well, I'm Lana, Sophie's godmother, and someone that she calls when she feels like she's in trouble. So she called me very distressed, not feeling well, saying that she had what sounded to me like a migraine, and that she was very concerned because she needed to prepare for her audition tomorrow. But really the thing that she needed to do most was rest herself, otherwise there wasn't going to be an audition tomorrow.
I made the decision last year at the beginning of VCE that music was going to be my number one priority, to the point where I was wagging to go home and practice, and, you know, I was missing out on a lot of school because I'd get really anxious about going and stuff like that. And I think having that mindset is probably quite dangerous because that had some bad side effects. I got sort of obsessive about things and just wasn't handling things very well, and was finding sort of being around people harder and harder. And so, yeah, I have been seeing a counsellor because of all that sort of stuff.
Does it concern you at all, as someone who's really close to Sophie, the sort of stress that she'll be under with the audition?
Yes, so I'm concerned about that, but I think she knows this is part of what she wants too, to get through this. So, and she's got through all of it. This is just, you know, one more step towards next year, really.
And how long is it until you have to play?
Let's see, what's the time? Crap. I'll have to play in like 3 minutes. Oh my god. Alright. I'll just get my stuff anyway. Am I the next one? I must be the next one. Where is it? I really hope they don't ask me for my scale. Because they're really bad. Where in the sort of front foyer-y bit of where the auditions are being held, just waiting.
Yeah, Sophie. Yeah, hello, Elena.
Hi, Sophie, how are you?
Hello. did you audition the VCA?
Well, I definitely want to be a musician, and thought that, you know, obviously it'd be a really good place to come. And yeah, I know I've got a really long way to go because obviously it's a really hard thing to get into, but yeah, committed and
That's great. A lot of aspirations, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And Sophie, just a few lines of the
Stephanie?
Yes.
It's Sophie. Yeah, I just came out from doing it.
Yeah, you happy?
Yeah, I think so. I lost my spot once in the Siciliano.
Stopping once doesn't matter.
I stopped for a while. I was trying to find my spot. They didn't tell me to stop. I was so sure they were going to go, okay, stop.
Okay, and what about in the study?
I only did a few bars of that, and I didn't do any scales, which is good.
Well, yeah, yes, that was good. You happy?
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent.
Shall we just have a look
Let's have a little chat.
Now we are selecting the one that we want to accept.
It's the definite yeses and noes, that's easy. But it's the one, the borderline cases, and some of them, you'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt because it can either work out in that first year or not. So that's what we're trying to work out at the moment.
Well, I'm a bit wary about taking on the borderline. It seems to creates a lot of problems.
It's interesting because we know a few people applying who are in their mid-20s or past mid-20s. Suddenly they've decided that music is their passion. You know, it's not the ideal age to start a course.
So you are...
But if I base it purely on the playing, if it is a yes, then I think Katrina has to be a yes as well. But... if we look at the number, and we can't really, in relation to the quota, we have to actually chop something, then I would start with these three.
If you were to choose...
You know, I find that all of it a bit arbitrary. It's so hard to make these decisions because between those three, well, I find it very arbitrary, but anyway...
One of the things that I'm interested in this is this idea of the quixoticness of life, the adventitiousness of things, and that, yes, you've got to be talented and, yes, you've got to work really hard, but sometimes it's also a matter of right time and right place and right person likes your style or...
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think that's totally true.
And just looking back on your life, what can you see of those little turning points that...
I can see lots and lots of moments. I can see all along the way, regularly, things were happening or seemed to be almost fortuitously happening, you know, almost just, thanks, you know. But then when you look at it in retrospect, you can also see, yeah, but I was actually prepared at that time. I had actually done something to make that happen. So it's a matter of work connecting with opportunity that basically gives you your step up, if you like. But it is interesting when you look at people who've been successful and you see how many things sort of fell into place for them. You know, it seems that way looking at it. Of course, it's not that simple.
Okay, I think that's pretty much decided,
yes? Yes. Well, you can have the fun of sorting it all out now.
Yeah. I have to talk to Jonty tomorrow, and basically I will tell him we want these numbers. I hope he will accept the whole. Yeah.
Better let me get the right piece of paper out for good old Marty. I'm Jonty Stockdale. I'm the head of the School of Music here at the Victorian College of the Arts. I see each of the heads of departments in turn, and they share with me their preferred
list of students who they wish to accept for the following year, and they would provide them to me in a ranked order. I then have to weigh up where the distribution of those CSP places should go. Where are we? Well, we're just approaching the office of Mwako Abe, who's our head of strings, and I'm just about to tell Mwako the outcomes of the deliberations of how many students we're going to be able to make an offer of a Commonwealth-supported place to. Oh, hi, Mwako. How are you?
How are you?
I know you were rather nervous because you wanted to grow the department, and I'm going to offer all 23 a CSP place.
Wow, fantastic. That's unbelievable.
This represents a growth of 13 students or so
in
the string department, so that's really good news.
Fantastic, thank you so much. Well, I will start ringing up students.
Thank you.
Hi. Is that Katrina?
Yes, it is.
Hello, this is Miwako Abe from the VCA. You are accepted.
Oh, so awesome, that's great. Thank you.
So you have the Hex place.
If there was one really important point that should be made about the whole audition process, whether it's here or anywhere else, because this place is quite hard to, well, it is hard to get into, a lot of our successful students think that they really nailed it by getting in here. And one of the points that we have to make to some of our first years is this is just the beginning. If you're in for the long haul, this is really just the beginning.
The degree courses are really just like a stepping stone, and when the students get to third year, we're usually advising them, look, you need to continue studying, you need to do postgraduate study, or maybe you need to go overseas, you know, this sort of thing, because really 3 years or 4 years is, in most cases, will not do it for them. It's not long enough, regardless of how talented they are. You usually need a bit longer than that to get the skills.
That commitment, that determination. You have to have it. And things don't change much when you leave here. I mean, as soon as you're out there, rather than having the place to go to every day, music becomes this amazing and scary world of self-motivation, where all of a sudden you're solely responsible for the structure of your life. I've read various examples of great musicians, Bill Evans, for instance, saying, I thought that if I sat at the piano and just got really good, one day someone would tap me on the shoulder and say, we want you. And that actually did happen to him. But nowadays, so many people can play well that it's more about, okay, you can play well, but now you have to be heard.
It says, Dear Sophie, following your recent audition for the Bachelor of Music and combined degrees, we advise that while you may not receive an offer in the first round because... It was a bit of a crap day, actually. It started off pretty blandly, and then I got the Melbourne Uni notification, which was really ambiguous, and I don't really understand it. What I understand at the moment is that there's... Well, Melbourne's out of the picture. Because yesterday I just received a letter from... the VCAA, which is the Victorian Curriculum... They're the Victorian Certificate... No, Victorian Curriculum and Assessment Authority. And they were sending me my statement of results. And so I've just found out that I actually failed Year 12. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was just sitting there feeling really sorry for myself, and then I got a call.
Hello?
Hello, is that Sophie?
And I didn't actually recognise who it was at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Miwako Abe from the College of the Arts.
And I think I was a bit worried at that point.
Oh,
hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Sophie, we want to offer you a place for next year, Hex Place.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm honoured, so thank you.
Pleasure, and... I thought that Sophie is very good. So she responded such a humble way. I feel that she's going to get to do very well. Yeah.
The I do, and I felt really elated. I literally like ran to my room and started being quite sort of jumping around, and I was sort of myself just going vocal in my glory. Because of all the crap that I've had to do with this school and with all this other stuff and, you know, exams and stuff, I was just like, felt like I'd really not just proven something to myself, but I'd sort of, you know, in getting in, it was like making a bit of a statement to all those teachers and to everything and to all the crap.
In relation to those who audition and are successful at getting institutions, that's just the beginning of a journey. It isn't a confirmation of success in the profession. It's a validation at that point, at the beginning of a tertiary experience, that we think that the people we interview have the potential to sustain a career. And we can't expect that everyone who we train, who may be aspiring to become an elite performer, will actually become an elite performer at the top of the profession. It is a journey. People change and transform over their lives, just as we all have. If I was to look back down the line and say, would I imagine I'd have been doing the job that I'm doing now in the role, the answer would have been no. Things happen in your life that change the direction. You decide to pursue different things that suddenly become of greater interest to you and start to pull you away from the thing that you perhaps aspired to do in the first instance.
You could say, on the one hand, why should people have a music education when there are so few music jobs out there? And indeed, it's true. And of course, if you're training good singers, not all of them are going to get top employment. Certainly not in Australia. They may have to go overseas.
There are absolutely no guarantees when, you know, a student gets through this course.
But on the other hand, having a music degree and doing really well and having that kind of discipline and dedication that you need for a music degree could easily serve you very well in any number of fields.
Some people become radio reporters and others art administrators.
But hopefully most of them will be singing still in a few years.
If people listen to this and they're wondering, well, you know, can I do it or not, I'd always say, well, if your heart's in it, then you should follow your heart as far as you can, because that's something maybe that we don't encourage enough, that people can have some sort of dream that really seems almost impossible, and that we could actually allow them to follow, you know, and actually help them, support them in doing it. And that's really sort of what we do here. We have a lot of people who are dreaming about something and they're trying to become that. It's a great thing to be able to do that. So I'd encourage people to do that in whatever area they're in. Yeah, that's it.
The Audition, Into the School of Music, was produced by Kyla Bredel. It originally aired on ABC Radio National's Into the Music. To hear more work by Kyla, or to read a short interview with her, visit thirdcoastfestival.org. And while you're there, buy a pass for the first ever Third Coast Filmless Festival, a celebration of audio storytelling and the art of listening.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The piano is really a limitless instrument. It's kind of the boss of all instruments. There's nothing wrong with a flute, a guitar, but a piano, it's like right there in front of you. It's like 31 flavors. ¶¶
ReSound is a production of Chicago Public Radio and the Third Coast International Audio Festival. I'm Delaney Hall, filling in for Gwen Macsai. The program is curated by Johanna Zorn and Julie Shapiro of the Third Coast Festival. You can hear today's program at thirdcoastfestival.org, where you can also hear hundreds of outstanding documentaries from around the world and subscribe to our podcast. Lead support for the Third Coast Festival is provided by the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation, with additional funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, American Airlines, and Chicago's Navy Pier. The Third Coast Festival is also supported by Stephen Gross of Real Life Weddings. Music for ReSound is provided by Reckless Records in Chicago. If you want to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Email us at resound@thirdcoastfestival.org. ReSound returns next week with more radio that you can't hear anywhere else unless you live everywhere else.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.